Okay, we're holding on Pesachim, Daf Ayin Chet. We are at the top of Ayin Chet, Amid Aleph. Nema Matnitin Deloka Rabbi Yossi. So now, let's suggest, after going through that whole process of suggesting it wasn't like Rabbi Yeshua, let's suggest that our mission does not follow the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. Netanya, when the bride Rabbi Lezer Omer Atitz Maratze Al Achilot, Rabbi Yossi Omer En Atitz Maratze Al Achilot. Right, so Rabbi Lezer says that Atitz enables you to eat the meat, and so the meat is therefore valid. But Rabbi Yossi says the Atitz does not allow you to eat the meat, so the meat is invalid. Kasal gadaitach midikamar Rabbi Yossi and Atitz Maratze Al Achilot, Rabbi Yeshua Svirulei Damar Bein Antarte. And it would stand to reason that we make the following assumption, that Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Yeshua, that you need valid meat and valid blood, and the two are me'akev one another. In which case, if you don't have valid meat, you don't have valid blood, in which case, you would not be able to bring this in a state of tumah, which contradicts our Mishnah, which says you would be able to bring this, this korban in a state of tumah. So let's suggest that Rabbi Yossi our Mishnah is not accord with the cheat of Rabbi Yossi. Ne'ma hashna matitin deloka Rabbi Yossi. So let's suggest that our mission doesn't follow Rabbi Yossi. Lo, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Eliezer, Svir Elei. No, just because Rabbi Yossi says that the tzitz is meratza ala achila, Rabbi Yossi still holds like Rabbi Eliezer, who does not say that one prevents the other. So just because you don't have valid meat doesn't mean you can't sprinkle the blood and make the korban kosher. The amar adam afal pishe in basar. Rabbi holds that you sprinkle the blood even if the meat is invalid. Well, if that's the case, then what is the halacha he's trying to indicate to you that the tzitz does not come to be matir the ochel? Meaning there seems to be no nafkamina in such a case. You're bringing the korban anyway, right? You're allowed to bring the korban. You're tameh anyway, so you can't eat it. So so what's the nafkamina as to whether or not the tzitz works to make it a valid meat or an invalid meat? Either way, you're not eating the meat, right? And the korban works. So that's why we assume that Rabbi Yossi follows like Rabbi Yeshua, because we're not quite sure what the nafkamina would be if he follows like Rabbi Eliezer. So what's the nafkamina that tzitz is maratze? Ulatameh, Rabbi Eliezer damar tzitz maratze, kevan damar dama fo pishe en basar, tzitz maratze al achil ma'ilchta. Well, according to your svar, you have basically the exact same problem, just the inverse with Rabbi Eliezer, right? Because Rabbi Eliezer says the tzitz is maratze, right? That the tzitz does render the korban valid. But Rabbi Eliezer also says it doesn't need to be, because he holds that one is a ma'akev of the other. So either way, meaning the tzitz is miratze on the achila and makes the meat kosher. However, it doesn't need to be kosher to do the sprinkling of the blood, because they're not ma'akev of one another, right? So you're asking, what's the nafkamina to Rabbi Yossi if he holds that the tzitz is not meratza, you're doing the korban anyway? What's the nafkamina to Rabbi Eliezer himself if he holds that the tzitz is meratza, but it doesn't need to be because they're not ma'akev one another anyway? So we'll tell you what the nafkamina is. Kivan da amar dam afvishay mezari. Okay, hilchda. Rather, so here are the big nafkaminas: whether or not this korban can become a pigul, and whether it's subject to me'ila. So just to give a little bit of background, a pigul, as we've discussed in the past, is when a part of the korban is performed for an improper intention. However, there's a din by pigul, that the pigul, the improper intention, has to be the only problem with it, right? So if it becomes tameh or had some other problem at some stage in the bringing of the korban, then just because it was... it doesn't matter that you had the improper intention, it doesn't make it pigul because it had a different problem. A pigul only happens if the korban is perfect, right? By every other standard. And the me'ila, so once you're makdesh an animal for a korban, so it's hekdesh, right? So it doesn't belong to you, it belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu. However, once you slaughter the korban, then you get to eat the meat. But why should you get to eat the meat? Because you made a hekdesh. Yeah, but bringing of the korban releases it from the me'ila status and allows you to eat the parts that you're allowed to eat from. So that's what we're wondering about here, right? Because if the korban is all brought properly, then it's no longer going to be me'ila. So Rabbi Lezer would say it's brought properly, and therefore it's not going to be me'ila. Whereas Rabbi Yossi would hold that if it sits in meratze on the achila, it's still going to be a problem of me'ila. Furthermore, if you brought it in a state of tuma, then that's going to be an additional issue with the animal, and so it can't become pigle. But if there was no other issue with the animal, then it can become pigle. Rabbi Eliezer Savar Maratza Tzit Ilave Umashvile Kitahor. So the Rabbi Eliezer says, yeah. So the tzitz works to render the animal kosher, even the eating parts, and now it's going to be tahor v'kava leva pigle. And now since it's tahor, it's subject to becoming pigle if you have an improper tension. And because it was all brought properly, can no longer you can't do me'ila on it. Rabbi Yossi, who holds that the tzitz is not maratze on the achila, and what that means is that the eating part, the part that you would eat, is now going to be tame. Now you still sprinkle the blood if you hold like Rabbi Eliezer. However, even though you still sprinkle the blood, that doesn't mean the meat becomes tahor. So the meat is now tameh, and because the meat is tameh, there's an additional problem with the korban, and therefore there is no pigle. Velo ma'pik le midei me'ila, and furthermore, because it wasn't all brought properly, it's still subject to me'ila. Matkif la Rav Mari nihi nami de Rabbi Yossi savar ke Rabbi Eliezer. Even if you hold the Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Eliezer, bishlam esvachim de ikadam. I understand the applicability when it comes to zvachim, because there's the blood. So the blood, you know, needs to be, even though the food isn't valid, so the blood is still valid and needs to be sprinkled. Omer nami ika komet. And furthermore, by the omer, we said that the komet, the additional handful that you take, is like tantamount to the blood, which still needs to be put on the mizbeach. Lechma panim nami ika bazichet. And furthermore, the showbread has spoonfuls of incense that is brought, and that's similar to the blood also that's put on the mizbeach. But regarding shtei halechem, you know, what's the holding the position that they're not ma'akev one another, but the tzitz is not meratze? What's the relevance for holding that way when it comes to lechem apanim, when there is no blood, when there is no, there's nothing similar to the blood in that case? Right? It's all eaten. Right? It's all eaten. There is nothing that you bring on the mizbeach and something that you eat. And if you want to say, well, it's referring to the korbanot that are brought together with the shtei halechem, meaning, just to clarify what we're talking about here, we said that these things can be brought in a state of tuma. However, according to Rabbi Yossi's shita, the food part is tameh. Right? And so what we're really referring to was the other part of the korban. That's fine to bring in a state of tuma. Like the blood for the zevach, that the tzitz helps you with, and the komet for the omer, and the bezichin for the lechem hapanim. So that's what we could have been referring to when the Mishnah says you're allowed to bring these things in a state of tuma. What we pointed out was that the shtei halechem has nothing that you bring on the mizbeach. There's nothing that you put on the mizbeach. And so if you hold that shita, that the tzitz is not meratza in what you eat, then there's no part of this korban that's valid, according to Rabbi Yossi. Right? And so we suggested that maybe we're talking about the accompanying korbanot that go along with the lechem apanim, and that's what the Mishnah must have been talking about when it said that this offering can be brought in a state of tuma. Im ken havalu arba v'anan chamisha tanan. Well, if that's the case, hainu shalmei tzibur, v'im ken havalu arba v'anan chamisha tanan. Right? And if that were the case, that we're talking about the accompanying korbanot for the lechem apanim, what are the accompanying korbanot? Sorry, if the shtei halechem, well, they're the shalmei tzibur. The Mishnah listed shalmei tzibur, in which case we'd be left with four, because essentially, when we said lechem hapanim, what we meant is the korbanot brought with the lechem hapanim, but the korbanot brought with the lechem hapanim are the shalmei tzibur, which the Mishnah also said independently, in which case we basically taught shalmei tzibur twice, and we have only four things that may be brought in a state of tuma and not five. Right? Ela kasav Rabbi Yossi tuma hutra b'tzibor. Rather, it must be that Rabbi Yossi holds the tuma hutra b'tzibor. And so even though he doesn't hold the tzitz is meratze on the achila part, doesn't matter if the tzitz is meratze on the achila part, you don't need the tzitz tuma hutra b'tzibor, not dechuya b'tzibor. Right? In which case, the whole thing is going to be mutter. And you don't need the tzitz to make it mutter. The ha tanya, didn't we learn the brayta, chadze ve'chadze mazin alav kol shiva? But wait, didn't we hear by the Kohen Gadol, who's doing the avoda for Yom Kippur, and the Kohen Hedyot, who's doing the para aduma, he has to be tahor for 7 days. And so, how do we make sure he's tahor for 7 days? Well, we sprinkle ashes, the ashes that are metahar you, we sprinkle upon him for 7 days straight. Mikol chataot shehayu sham, from the korban chataot that were there. Divrei Meir, it's Rav Meir Shita. Rabbi Yossi Omer, ein mazin alav ela shlishi v'shvi'i bilvan. Rabbi Yossi says, you only have to do the third day and the seventh day is when you sprinkle the ashes on the mizal. And if you want to say the according to Rabbi Yossi, Tumahucha B'tzibor, so Rabbi Yossi is not concerned for Tuma when the entire nation is Tameh and you can do the Avoda in a state of Tuma, well then, why do you need to do this Hazal? What, it's so important that the Kohen doesn't become Tameh? Tumahucha B'tzibor, El Mechorta, Matnitin Delok Rabbi Yossi. Rather, let's reject that position that that Rabbi Yossi must hold that Tumahucha B'tzibor, but if he doesn't hold Tumahucha B'tzibor, then we have to wonder, if he doesn't hold Tumahucha B'tzibor, and he does hold that the tzitz is not Merate on the Achila, well then we have this Lechem HaPanim that according to Rabbi Yossi would certainly not be able to be brought in a state of Tuma because no part of it could be brought, unlike the Zvachim, which you could say that the blood could be brought in a state of Tuma because the tzitz is Merate for that, in which case our Mishnah suggests that it can be brought, must not be according to Rabbi Yossi. And let's conclude that Rabbi Yossi is not the author of our Mishnah. Amar Rav Papa Le'Abaye Rabbi Yossi Shtar Mezaki Le'Beit Rei. Well, let's bring up something we mentioned before. Rabbi Yossi seems to be possibly like two shitas. He seems to be writing a document that affords the same thing to two different people. How so? Well, he says, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Netanya, we saw in the Braita, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Roeni, Ez Divrei Rabbi Lezer B'Zvachim, V'Divrei Rabbi Shub B'Zvachim, V'Divrei Rabbi Lezer B'Menachot, V'Divrei Rabbi Shub B'Menachot. Didn't he say that Rabbi Lezer's Shita by Zvachim and Menachot makes sense to me, and Rabbi Yeshua's Shita by Zvachim and Menachot makes sense to me? Well, who is it? Whose Shita seems reasonable to you? Is it Rabbi Lezer or Rabbi Yeshua? Divrei Rabbi Eliezer b'Zvachim. What was the statement of Rabbi Eliezer and Zvachim that he said seems reasonable to him? Shahaya Omer Damaf al Pisha in Basar Divrei Rabbi Yeshua b'Zvachim. Shahaya Omer Dam Af Al Pi She'Ein Basar. Because Rabbi Eliezer said that you bring the blood even if the meat is invalid. Divrei Rabbi Yeshua b'Zvachim. What does Rabbi Yeshua say about Zvachim? Shahaya Omer Im Ein Dam Ein Basar Im Ein Basar Ein Dam. Rabbi Yeshua says that you need both of them together. If one of them is invalid, they're both invalid. That's what Rabbi Yeshua said by Zvachim. Clearly contradictory. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer b'Menachot. What did Rabbi Eliezer say about Menachot? Shahaya Omer Kometz Af Al Pi She'Ein Sham Shirayim. V'Divrei Rabbi Yeshua b'Menachot. Shahaya Omer Im Ein Sham Shirayim Ein Kometz Im Ein Kometz Ein Shirayim. Right, by the Menachot, Rabbi Eliezer says that you bring the kometz even if you don't have the leftover, even if you don't have the rest of the mincha offering, if the rest of that became invalid, you still bring the kometz to the mizbeach. And according to Rabbi Yossi, you need both. According to Rabbi Yeshua, you need both. If you don't have the kometz, you don't have the shirayim. If you don't have the shirayim, you don't have the kometz. In which case, we have two machlokets, both by Zvachim and Menachot, between Rabbi Yeshua and between Rabbi Eliezer. And it seems like Rabbi Yossi says they both make sense to me. They're both good. Well, Whose shita do you follow? Amar le mistabra kamar ki kai bezvachim amar mistabra kamar. So what Rabbi Yossi was really saying is it seems reasonable to me to assume that they're arguing here. What does that mean? Ki kai bezvachim amar mistabra ki heichid pligi bezvachim pligi nam benachor ki kai be benachor amar mistabra ki heichid pligi benachor pligi nam bezvachim. He's saying this is what seems reasonable to me, right? When he was learning Zvachim and he saw that they argued, he said, Rabbi Yossi said, I see this argument in Zvachim, I assume they have the same argument in Menachot when it comes to the Kometz and the Shirayim. And then when he was learning Menachot, he says, you know, based on their argument here by Menachot, by the Kometz and Shirayim, it would seem that they have the same argument by Zvachim when it comes to the blood and the Korban. Right? That's what he means to say. He's not saying I paskin like both of them. Amar le hatina chikav zvachim amar mstaber ki echid pligi bezvachim pligi namim benachot de ikar krai k'tivi bezvachim k'tivi. Makes sense that if he was learning Zvachim, he would say, I would assume that they are making the same argument by Benachot. Because, you know, most of the Makorot about the subject are talking about Zvachim. In which case, if you want to say it's also talking about Benachot, you have to make an inference from Zvachim to Benachot. So that's reasonable to learn Zvachim and say that he assumes he has the same machloket by Benachot. Elikikai b'Benachot, Ramam Mestabra Kiechidi Pligi b'Benachot Pligi Nam b'Zvachim, V'hai Ikar Krai b'Zvachim Udichtivi. But it doesn't make much sense to say that he's learning Benachot, and he said, I assume that the same machloket could exist by Zvachim. All the Makarot are talking about Zvachim. That's not an inference. That's what it's talking about. You can only make an inference to Menachot. You wouldn't make an inference from Menachot to Zvachim when the Makarot that's telling, that they're debating about as to whether you need both, that we learned yesterday, and the Makarot that they're talking about, that whether you need both the meat and the blood to be valid or just one of them, that's all talking about Menachot. You can make an inference, that's all talking, sorry, about Zvachim. You can make an inference to Menachot. You wouldn't make the inference the other way around. Rather, that's probably not what Rabbi Yossi is saying. El lo kasha. It's not a difficulty. Here's what Rabbi Yossi says: Roe ani es divir Rabbi Elazar be nitma v'divir Rabbi Yeshua be avod v'sarav. Rabbi Elazar's shita makes sense to me if we're talking about when the shiraim or the basar become tame, and Rabbi Yeshua's shita makes sense to me when we're talking about if you totally lost the shiraim or the basar, or it was burnt up. If we're dealing with something you have, it's just tame, then it's like Rabbi Lezer's shita. But if you don't have it because it's burnt up or lost, then it's like Rabbi Yeshua's shita. Ha, shamad leder Rabbi Yossi, de amar enatitz meratze al achilot. But don't we know that Rabbi Yossi holds that the tzitz is not meratze for the achila? So why is he differentiating between food that became tame and food that was lost and burnt? For all intents and purposes, it's the same thing, right? He would hold like Rabbi Eliezer that the food is that when it becomes tame, the food is apparently fine, but the tzitz is not meratza on the food. You should treat it the same way. El lo kasha. So that can't be what Rabbi Yossi was saying here. Still not a difficulty. Let's resolve it in the following way. Ro'eh ani et divrei Rabbi Eliezer, but tzibor ani et divrei Rabbi Yeshua. I would hold like Rabbi Elazar's shita when it comes to the tzibur, right? But Rabbi Yeshua's shita when it comes to a yechid. An individual is dealing with this tumah problem, and I'm going to assume that it can't be brought. But when the tzibur is, I'm going to assume that it can be brought. But tzibur my taima. What would be Rabbi Yossi's svara to paskin like Rabbi Elazar when it comes to a tzibur? Mishum de tumah hujub tzibur, because he would hold that the tumah is hujub tzibur, and the and that would allow you to eat the korban and wouldn't pose a problem to the food. Chada shamat leil Rabbi Yossi d'amar tumah d'chuya hi b'tzibor. But we don't know, but we heard that Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold tumah hutra b'tzibor. He holds that tumah d'chuya b'tzibor. Right? That's problem number one, is that you'd be assuming that he holds tumah hutra b'tzibor, which is not the case. V'od, and furthermore, an additional problem is suggesting this understanding of Rabbi Yossi's statement. I b'tzibor Rabbi Lezer machshir velo Rabbi Yeshua hamar b'tzibor afil Rabbi Yeshua modeh. Right? If you're holding that it's talking about a tzibor, and you'd only follow Rabbi Yeshua's shita that it's allowed, but didn't we teach before? Sorry, we'd only be following Rabbi Lezer's shita that it's allowed. Didn't we hold before that we taught before that Rabbi Yeshua actually agrees to Rabbi Lezer's shita when it's talking about the tzibor? Right, so what's the chiddush here? Ah, well, I davko hold like Rabbi Eliezer when we're talking about tzibur. Shkoyach, so does Rabbi Yeshua. So what do you mean you're holding like Rabbi Yeshua? This is what Rabbi Yeshua also holds when it comes to the tzibur. Ella, Roeni, it's Divrei Rabbi Elazar, b'di'eved, v'divrei Rabbi Yeshua, l'chadchila. That can't be what Rabbi Yossi meant. Here's what Rabbi Yossi meant. He holds like Rabbi Eliezer on a b'di'eved level, and Rabbi Yeshua on a l'chadchila level. So he follows l'chadchila, he believes to follow like Rabbi Yeshua. However, b'di'eved, we can hold like Rabbi Eliezer. Diavad afilu Rabbi Yeshua nami mode. Okay, Rabbi Yeshua also agrees that in b'di'eved you can follow Rabbi Yeshua or paskins b'di'eved like Rabbi Yeshua paskins l'chadchila. So again, what are you saying? You hold like Rabbi Eliezer b'di'eved. Rabbi Yeshua holds like Rabbi Eliezer b'di'eved. The Katani, as we learned, as we taught in a brayta, mode Rabbi Yeshua she'im zara kurza, that if you did throw the blood, it works. Ha betuma ha be'avud v'sarav. Yeah, however, Rabbi Eliezer, you can make a differentiation between when Rabbi Eliezer says it works and when he says it doesn't work, right? So what Rabbi Yossi is saying here is that b'di'eved, when it works, is tuma. However, avud v'saruf, he says it doesn't work, right? Ki katani mode Rabbi Yeshua she'im zara kurza benitma aval be'avud v'saruf lo. Right? So when Rabbi Yeshua says, I agree with the Eved that it works, he was talking about if it became Tameh and you brought the blood, because it's still there, that's going to work. However, Rabbi Yeshua's position is that if it was lost or burnt, then B'dieved, it still doesn't work. Ki kama Rabbi Yossi roni divrei Rabbi Elazar b'dieved b'avud v'saruf. And so what Rabbi Yossi was saying is, when it seems reasonable to a paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, he was talking about b'dieved by avud v'saruf, by lost or burnt meat, because Rabbi Yeshua would not say b'dieved it works by lost or burnt meat, and Rabbi Yeshua would only say b'dieved it works by tamei meat. So if you assume that we're talking about b'dieved by avud v'saruf, that is where Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Eliezer, whereas Rabbi Yeshua would say that does not work. Okay, new Mishnah. Nitma basar v'chelev kayim. The meat became, the meat that you eat, became, tameh. However, the chelev still perfectly intact. The chelev is the forbidden, fats that are just burnt up. Eino zorek et adam. In such a case, you do not do the zorek et adam. Nitma chelev basar chayam. Zorek et adam. However, if the meat, the part that you eat becomes, is still kosher, and only the chalev that's a problem, you still do the zrikat adam. Ubimukudashim enokin. However, with other, sacrifices, you don't do this. El, achal pishin nidma basar v'chalev kayam zrikat adam. Even if the basar becomes tame and the chalev is still there, still, you do the zrikat adam. Gemara, amar rav gidol amar rav, im zarak hurza, right? After the fact, b'di'evet, if you did do this drink of dam, it works. The korban works. V'haba in nechila. But isn't there, what do you mean it works? You need to eat it. We're talking about korban pesach here. You need to eat the korban pesach, right? That's the requirement. So, what do you mean it works? You can't eat it, right? It's tame. The meat is tame. What did you accomplish? Achila luma akva. Well, you need to eat it, but it's not me'akiv. It doesn't mean I didn't accomplish the korban. V'aktiv ish lefi achlo. But what do you mean it's not me'akiv? It's written in the Torah that each person, according to what they eat, right? Eating is a fundamental part of the korban. L'mitzvah. Yeah, just say that it's a mitzvah for them to eat it. Not that it's me'akiv for them to eat it. L'akiv lo. Wait, that pasuk is only teaching you mitzvah, and it's not teaching you that it's me'akiv, that it's an absolutely essential part of bringing the korban. V'atane demi lo nebraita. B'michzad milamet she'en pesach nishchat el lemenuya. Right, from the word le'michzad, that it's slaughtered for a number of people, that the korban must be brought with the intention of being on behalf of the people appointed on the korban. And you may have thoughts to say that if you slaughtered it for someone else who is not appointed on this korban, that okay, so you missed the mitzvah of b'michsat for the appointed people. However, it's still going to be kosher. It doesn't render the whole korban tameh, unkosher, right? Right, and so the Torah teaches us that. That you must do it ish lefi achlo on behalf of the people who are appointed on it. Akaduv shana v'la'akiv, and this repetition of the fact that it needs to be for the appointed people is to be me'akiv. So here, from this pasuk of ish lefi achlo, we see that there's a me'akiv component here, and so it doesn't make sense to assume that we are suggesting that the fact that it must be eaten by the people appointed is a mitzvah. And not me'akev, because we explicitly learned that this pasuk comes to make it me'akev. V'itkash ochlin l'menuyav. And, you know, even though the ochlin part is talking about eating it, and techosu, which we're saying, shina lavakatu la'akev is me'akev, is talking about the appointed people and not about eating it. There's a hekesh, there's a halachically significant juxtaposition between eating it and being appointed on it, to assume that just like eating it is me'akev, so to be, so just like being appointed on it is me'akev from this pasuk, so to eating is me'akev. Ela, rav da'amak rabbi natan, rather, rav ma must hold like, rather, Rav is understanding our Mishnah as being according like Rabbi Natan's Shita. Because Rabbi Natan holds that the Psachim is Korban, it's not Me'akev, absolutely necessary to eat the Korban Pesach. Now, we have a lot of questions for Rabbi Natan. Hi, Rabbi Natan. Which Shita of Rabbi Natan are you referring to? He seems to indicate that Chila is not Me'akev by the Korban Pesach. Ilema ha, Rabbi Natan, if you're referring to the following Shita of Rabbi Natan, the Tanya will learn the Rabbi Natan, Omi Minayin Shekol Yisrael Yotzim Pesach Echad. How do you know that all of Klal Yisrael can fulfill their obligation by bringing one single Korban Pesach? Tamalom Shechatu et Kol at Kol Kahal Adat Israel Bein Arbaim, right? That you slaughter it on behalf of the entire congregation, or rather, the entire congregation slaughters it in the evening, in the afternoon, right? How would the entire congregation slaughter one korban? V'chi Kol Kahal Shochtin, where every single member of Klal Yisrael is slaughtering one korban. V'lo Ein Shechot Ela Echad, one person slaughters the korban. Ela Melamed Shekol Yisrael Yotzinu Pesach Echad. Rather, it's to teach you this unique din that in theory, all of Klal Yisrael could be Yotze with a single korban. That's Rabbi Natan's Shita. Now, from the fact that Rabbi Natan holds that all of Klal Yisrael can be Yotze with a single korban, and there's no way that all of Klal Yisrael can partake in eating of the korban, he must hold that eating is not me'akev. Dil mashani hat, the imam di mi mashrehani chazilahani, vi mashrehani chazilahani. That may be different. It may be a different case. Why? Because if these decide not to be a part of it, meaning, okay, everyone, everyone was appointed on one korban. So half the people could say, you know, you guys eat. Right? So everyone in theory could eat. Right? Because you could have 99% of the population go to 1% of the population and say, hey, you eat this korban. And you could have, and anyone could be in that 1% of the population. So anyone in theory could be partaking of this korban. Unlike a case where there, unlike a case where there's no even theoretical way that you could be eating in the korban. Ela ha Rabbi Natan. Right? Meaning, like, if the korban is tameh, right? And there is nothing to eat. It's not like the meat is valid and there's just not enough, in which case, any one person could be the person who gets to eat the meat. However, if the meat is tameh, no one's eating it, right? Ela ha Rabbi Natan. Rather, he learned it from the following shita of Rabbi Natan, that, the ichila is tameh akiv. D'tanya b'lim d'rabraita nim nu alav chabura achat, v'chaz v'nim nu alav chabura acheret. If originally a certain group of people was appointed on the korban, and then, afterward a second group of people was appointed on the korban, rishonim sheish lein kezayit ochli, and poetry milasot pesach sheni pesach sheni achronim sheilim kazayit ein ochlin v'chayvin lasot pesach sheni. Right, so if there's a kazayit baser, the first group already kind of was like sealed in on an amount of meat in this korban, and they're fine. And so they are yotze their obligation, but the second group has to do a korban, has to do a pesach sheni. Omer, Rabbi Natan, Elu ve'elu pturin. Sorry, Rabbi Natan Omer, Elu ve'elu pturin milasot pesach sheni shekvar nizrak adam. It says that actually they're both pater from doing korban sheni because the blood was already sprinkled. In which case, they're both pater. How can they both be pater? Right? They're not both eating from it. Must be that Rabbi Natan doesn't hold that eating it is ma'akev. Akati dilmashani hatam deim shechehani chazi lahu. But still, you can say it's different there because we're not talking about tamei meat, right? We're just talking about it's not enough for everyone. So this group of people could say you eat it, and this group of people could say you eat it, and that's why they're both potter, because in theory it's fit to be eaten, and there's a chance that everyone appointed on it, every individual, there's a chance that he may get to eat from the korban pesach. Im kein the hoyil veruuyim limashech. Yeah, you could say that, but there'd be a problem with the Lashon, right? Because what does Rabbi Lezer say? Because the blood was already sprinkled, it works for both of them. What should he have said? Since both groups, in theory, could eat from it, that's why it works, right? So that's what he would have said if he meant that that's what the Svara was. But here, he doesn't say that because it's fit for both to eat, we're going to allow it to work. He says, no, it works for both because the blood is already sprinkled. Right? So why does he assume that it's based upon the blood being sprinkled and not based upon each group having the potential to eat from it? Must be that it's not dependent upon eating the meat, or the potential to eat the meat. It's dependent upon whether you sprinkle the blood. My duchy the rav the mukim lamet nitin the chachila Rabbi Natan nu bigger rabbanon I feel the avet namilahu namilo. Right? Why did Rava feel it's necessary to teach that our Mishnah accords with the Shita of Rabbi Natan lichachila? Just said that our Mishnah is talking about the rabbanon. In a case, b'di'eved, that it doesn't work. Meaning, our Mishnah says that it doesn't work, right? Our Mishnah says that it's tameh, and you can't eat from it. And then Rava says, yeah, we're talking about Rabbi Natan's Shita, who says l'chadchila doesn't work, but b'di'eved it works, right? But just say that it's the Rabbanon, and say that when our Mishnah says that it doesn't work, you can't eat from it, it's talking about the Rabbanon's Shita, and even b'di'eved, who, when they hold that you can't eat from it. The Rava says, like, oh, this must be Rabbi Natan's Shita, and he's talking about l'chachila, but b'di'eved it works. Right? Just, no, say that it doesn't work, and that's the Rabbanan Shita, who says it, even b'di'eved, it's tameh, and you can't eat it. Rav matit in keshite. Well, because the Lashon was difficult for Rav. Hamaitani in zorek adam, litni puzzle. Right? Because why would you say that you don't sprinkle the blood? Teach me it's puzzle. Teach me it doesn't work. What is it? What's the implication of don't sprinkle the blood? It sounds like l'chachila, but b'di'eved it works. Elash mamina in zorek l'chachila, but b'di'eved shabidami. Sounds like that you're not supposed to do the sprinkling of the blood l'chachila. However, if you did it, then it works. If you told me it was puzzle, then I would assume even b'di'eved it doesn't work, and then I would assume it's like the rabbanon. The Rabbi Natan ish levi achlo lamali. Now we have to get back to challenging Rabbi Natan shita. Ish levi achlo. This pasuk we learned to suggest that it's ma'akev, that every single person eat it. What do you do with that pasuk? Yeah, you have to slaughter it on behalf of someone who could eat the korban. And once it's brought on behalf of someone who could eat the korban, then even if they don't eat the korban, they still were yotze their obligation. Now, we were talking about a very serious obligation, right? We're talking about karet here. So, let's say you have a vegetarian and he doesn't want to eat any meat, but he realizes, hey, it's korban pesach, it's mitzvah deoraita, it's chayav karet, so I have to eat it, in malasot, right? So, you go and you slaughter the korban pesach for him on his behalf, and you bring him a nice roasted piece of lamb in front of him. And he hasn't even eaten so long, he just is completely sick, and he throws up, and he's just totally sick now, cannot put a piece of food in his stomach. Okay, so now he's pata from eating it. Right? If he really can't eat it, he's pata from eating it, because at the time that it was brought for him, he was fit to eat it, and he intended to eat it. That doesn't mean that he has to end up eating it in order to be yotze. My Tana Lahad Tana Rabbanan, right? Who is the author of the following statement? Shachtu la'ochlav v'zarku damo shelo la'ochlav. If you slaughtered it for the people who are supposed to be eating it, but then you sprinkle its blood not for the people who are going to be eating it, ha'pesach atzmo kosher v'adam yotze bo yidei chovato. So the pesach is kosher and the person is yotze is obligation. Come on, who she does the follow? Name a Rabbi Natan hi v'lo Rabbanan. Let's suggest it's Rabbi Natan Shita and not the Rabbanan Shita, because even though the Zrikat Adam wasn't done properly, you can say that it doesn't matter because the Shechita was done properly. Once the Shechita is done properly, it's kosher. Because Rabbi Natan has less of a requirement for... I mean, it's like this. If the Shechita is done for the people who are going to eat it, well, then it's fit because the... Because they don't really require you to even go, Rabbi Natan doesn't even require you to go ahead and actually eat the thing, right? He just wants it to be slaughtered for the right reasons. So here, this was slaughtered for the right reasons, and then you're fine, even though the blood wasn't sprinkled for the right reasons. No, the Rabbanan would also agree that it's fine here because we just don't consider the machshava by Zrikat Adam to be significant. If you were sick at the time of the Shechita and then you got better by the time of the Zrikat Adam, Chalim B'Shat Shechita V'Chol B'Shat Zrika, or vice versa, and Shochtim V'Zorkin Olav, right? So you're not allowed to slaughter or sprinkle the blood on his behalf, Asher Chalim B'Shat Shechita Ad Shat Zrika, right? Until he's healthy through the entire thing. Come on, name a Rabbanan he V'Lo Rabbi Natan. Maybe it's the Rabbanan Shechita and not Rabbi Natan Shechita, because the Rabbanan has require a greater level of fitness for the korban, but Rabbi Natan would seem to only require you to be fit for the time of the shechita, and then everything was done properly according to him. Even Rabbi Natan would agree that that's such a that you don't slaughter on this person's behalf because you need someone who is fit to eat it, and someone who's fit to eat it is defined by fit throughout the entirety of the process. Man tana lahad tana rabbanan. Who's the author of the following? Shachdo b'tara v'achar kach nitmu abalim. If you slaughtered the korban betahara in a state of in a pure state, and then it became tame yizar kadam betahara ve al yechal basar betuma. Right, so you sprinkle the blood, but you cannot eat the korban in a state of tuma. Come on, who does this follow? Ama Rabbi Elazar b'machloket shnuya Rabbi Natan hi. Right, so it's subject to the machloket between Rabbanan and Rabbi Natan, and this is Rabbi Natan's shita. Rabbi Yochanan amar filotim Rabbanan hi, and Rabbi Yochanan says no. You can even say that the Rabbanan here would hold that the sprinkling of the blood is done even if the meat is not fit to be eaten. And we're talking about in a tzibur when you would still bring the korban because of the tumah huchu b'tzibur, right? That you should still go ahead and sprinkle the blood even if the meat became tameh. Da'afilu b'tumah nami avde, right? Because on behalf of a tzibur, you can even do the korban in a state of tumah. I b'tzibur amai in abasar ne'achal b'tumah. If it's the tzibur, why can't you eat the korban, right? We said by the tzibur, the tumah huchu of the tzibur, that you could even eat the korban if everyone's tameh. In which case, to say that you should sprinkle the blood, but you can't eat it, and we must be talking about the tzibur, why? You should even be able to eat it if we're talking about the tzibur. Gzeira. Oh, it's a gzeira. Meaning, meikar adin, you're correct. They should be allowed to eat it, but we made a gzeira that they shouldn't eat it. Shem yitamu abalim lachar zrika. Because maybe the next year we're concerned that the balim are going to become tameh after the zrika. V'yomru eshtakid lo nitamamu, eshtakid lo nitmanu. Last year, didn't we also become tame and still we ate hashtanami nechol? Right, so here too we became tame and so we should eat the korban pesach. And they didn't realize that last year when they sprinkled the blood, they were sprinkling the blood on behalf of tame baalim, in which case they would be allowed to eat it migardin hashtabalim toru havu. However, here at this point, it was done on behalf of the sprinkling of the blood was done when the baalim were tahor, so the korban was totally done in a state of tahara, and now they became tameh, in which case they're not allowed to eat from it. So if any part of the korban was brought in a state of tuma, and we say tuma hochu b'tzibor, then you're allowed to eat it even in a state of tuma. However, if the entirety of the korban was brought in a state of tahara, and then you became tamei afterward, the korban was brought. It was brought properly. It was brought kosher. We didn't need to invoke the concept of tuma hochu b'tzibor. Now you're tamei. You can't partake out of the tamei out of the tahor korban. And we're assuming that you're going to get confused. And the next year, if you become tamei after the zrika, so the whole korban was done with tahara, you still might come to eat from it. V'ibayt ema turn. You can say as follows: Rav de amak Rabbi Yeshua. Rav holds like Rabbi Yeshua. Detanya, we learned about Rabbi Yeshua. Omer kol zvachim shbetorah ben shenitma basar v'chelav kayam ben shenitma chelav basar kayam zorek tadam. By all korbanot he holds, by all korbanot of the Torah, if the chelav is tameh and the basar is kosher, or vice versa, you use the zorek tadam. Nazir v'osei pesach. However, in a case where a nazir is doing a korban pesach nitma chelav basar kayam, if the chelav becomes tameh. The chaylev becomes tameh, but the basar still exists. Zorek the dam. Then he does his zrika the dam. He's not eating the basar anyway, right? He's not eating the chaylev anyway. Nitma basar v'chaylev kayam. However, if the basar itself becomes tameh and the chaylev still exists, ein zorek the dam. He shouldn't do the zrika the dam because he can't eat he can't eat from the korban, right? Because even with tuma hochu b'tzibor, he, an individual, is a nazir. Ve'im zara kurtza. However, if he sprinkles the blood, it works. The korban works. Nitmu ha'balim pemeit lo yizrok ve'im zarak lo hurtza. And if the balim become tamei meit, you should not sprinkle the blood. And if you did, it doesn't work. I didn't really clarify what we're talking about here. Ve'ibayit emo is not going on the last part that we just said, meaning another answer to the, aside from it being a gzera, really the ibayit emo is going on another way that we can understand Rava's statement about the Mishnah, right? Because we assume that Rava was saying our Mishnah follows Rabbi Natan, and now we're saying alternatively, Rava does lav davka following Rabbi Natan. Rather, maybe Rava's just talking about a very unique case, like a Korban Pesach being brought on behalf of the Nazir, which you don't do the sprinkling of the blood lechad, because you can't partake from anything tameh, even if the whole tzibur is tameh. However, b'dieved, it works. So maybe the Rav is talking about that case, and we don't have to assume that Rava is paskening like Rabbi Natan in our Mishnah, or rather holds that our Mishnah follows Rabbi Natan. We'll stop here.